Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Cedars in Lebanon. It's always an honor to have you here. It's always a pleasure to have you here. And today's episode is going to bless you. Today's episode is a beautiful one. It's even more beautiful that it comes out during this Easter period, right? But it's going to bless you. It's going to bless you so mightily. The guests that we have for today is someone I honor, respect, I salute, admire from a distance and from near.
Which kind of position is this? From far, from near. I appreciate you too.
He's a man of God. He's a man of substance. He's a man of power. He's a man of wisdom, great wisdom. I'm going to give him the opportunity to introduce himself.
Hello, guys. Wow, it's amazing. I just can't believe I'm here. Really, this is a dream come true. No jokes. I really appreciate this opportunity. I used to hear others speak on this platform. I've heard our sister or host speak on this platform, and I've been blessed by the podcast, and I just can't imagine I'm here. I really thank God for this opportunity, and I thank and celebrate our host. Well, coming to me, my name is Emmanuel Ayuk. I am child of God. Yeah, basically, I serve here in the church as a minister in House of Power, and also I'm doing my master's presently in Financial University and studying International Business Management, and also, well, I also get to work by the grace of God, and yeah, that's it about me.
Power. You forgot to mention many things, but as we go along, you guys will see the proof. You'll see the proof of the things that he forgot to say or the things that he did not say. Thank you so much again, sir, for being with us. We really, really, really appreciate and honor you and taking out your time to be here. Thank you so much, sir.
Wow, you're welcome. Thank God.
Okay, so what we're going to be talking about today is a popular topic. Probably you've heard about it many times. Probably you even talk about it or you study about it, you read about it. I don't know. Yeah, so the topic is going to be breaking free from the power of sin. It's a topic that, I mean, is widely talked about. So there are many questions, of course, many confusions, especially in this topic, but hopefully as the Spirit of God helps us, we're going to answer a few of them, and as Lord leads us, we will bring revelation to most of them. Amen.
Amen.
So Bishop, over to you. So first of all, what is sin? How did it originate? What's the root of sin? What do we consider sin?
Wow, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sister Precious. Well, as we said, we're just going to be having a conversation and some of the things which pertain to this. Well, it's nothing new. Mm-hmm. So maybe I hope no one is expecting me to take out a Greek word or Hebrew word and say sin is this, which meant that. No. So we're just going to be as practical as possible. We just want to be as simple as possible and want to relate to you on a personal level as it means to us. Mm-hmm. Well, for me personally, I would say that sin in one word is disobedience, rebellion, if in other words I might say disobedience to God in any way, be it in something which was not supposed to be done that is being done, or something that was to be done and it's not being done. So it goes in both senses. Sin can be going against the will of God. God has said, you shall not lust, you shall not think about another person, shall not get another person's property, covet another person's property,
mm-hmm.
and you are appropriating that in your mind, that sin. And also even in the other aspect of, yeah, God has asked you to do something and you say no to his call, that is still sin. So as interesting as it can be, that sin. And where does it originate from? Well, I remember from the first time we heard about that act of disobedience to God,
mm-hmm.
was in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve went against the instruction which God gave them.
Yeah.
Though they all had reasons and excuses, and justifiably so. I mean, they had an excuse for doing that, but they disobeyed and they sinned against God.
That's very deep. Oh my God. Thank God. I'm so glad that you said sin is disobedience. And like, to, how do you put it? Two ways. And it goes in two ways. From what God has told you not to do and what God has told you to do. That's very deep. So what now happened? Okay, I think people know this story, right? The story of Garden of Eden. But just in case, like, what happened after that that caused us, like, to be delivered from sin? Like, what's the journey to our deliverance from sin, should I say?
Well, so after the fall of man, as we can see, well, the fall of man was defined by that act of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So when man sinned, we see that even the Bible says that God told them, God spoke to them and told them about a couple of things that were going to happen, told them about the judgment that was going to follow. And also after that, man was driven from the Garden of Eden, driven from the garden, lest he lay hand on the tree of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
So driving man out of the garden was, yes, the Bible mentioned that it was so he shouldn't eat from the tree of life and death, but also Eden symbolized the presence of God. Eden symbolized the presence of God. So man being driven out of the Garden of Eden was being driven out of the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that man, in addition to all the curses which were received, curses on the ground, curses on the woman's labor and all that, was being driven now out of the presence of God. And
mm-hmm.
from then we began to see different shades of wickedness. We saw different types of sin coming to the world, and it came worse and worse and worse, to the point where God himself said that he regretted, or he really felt bad having created man. So that is how it began, and it was just worse and worse. We saw stories like Sodom and Gomorrah, where they started having different shades of immorality and lust of all forms. Well, during that procedure, we saw that God still kept on coming close to man, but it was impossible to have that relationship as before, because man had fallen. As Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And even the Bible says, after Adam had his son, the Bible says Adam had a son in his likeness, no more the likeness of God. So that fallen likeness, the nature of sin, was being replicated in men. And that came down onto the point where God had to step in as he had promised. You know, it's interesting, Sister Precious, that he said it right from the beginning. He told the woman that your seed will crush the serpent's, the serpent, the head of the serpent's seed, and in return it will bruise his heel. So finally God came through for us with, by the sending of his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish but have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came to pay the price for our sin, that we may be saved.
That's very beautiful. Wow. That's absolutely beautiful that Jesus came. You've literally preached the whole gospel. The entire gospel. But yeah, that's very beautiful. That's, I mean, that's absolutely beautiful. So now, seeing as Jesus came to deliver us, save us from the power of sin, should I say, how does this take into play? Like, how, for example, for someone who might be listening to this and is thinking, but I'm still, I mean, I know Jesus, right? But I'm still struggling with these certain things.
Thank you very much, Sister Precious. Thank you very much. Well, this is really interesting and it's really personal because I myself, I've had to ask myself that question many times. I know times where I've gone through some things, episodes in my life, struggled with some habits and struggled with some things. And I'm like, the Bible says this, but it seems I'm living in something else. I remember some time in my life when I even felt like I was worse than the period before I gave my life to Christ. It's like I was struggling with so much battle and all of that, that it seemed like, yeah, everything was going worse. Okay, well, how would I define it? Well, we see even from Romans chapter 6, when we read it, he asks a very personal question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And it says, God forbid. So it's possible to continue in sin. It's possible to be saved and continue in sin. It's possible to have Jesus Christ yet continue in sin. But why is it in that way? What is the catch? If Jesus came to save us from sin, then how comes I can still be saved and continue in sin? So maybe we should ask ourselves, what was the salvation about? What was the salvation about when Jesus came and saved us? What changed in us? What changed in us? And for the best of my knowledge, I don't know, except if maybe it happened to you somewhere around the world, you can leave us a message maybe, but I didn't see someone who was born again and then he grew taller or shorter. And anyone who changed, maybe their hair changed from gray to black when they gave their life to Christ. No, they were being born again. Like Jesus said, as many believed in this, in his name, he gave them the power to be called children of God. So the transformation happened in our spirits. There was a renewal, a change. We were born again in our spirits. But now, we as human beings, we are made up of the spirit, the soul, and the body. So though we are changed in our spirit, our soul still was the same. Your soul standing for your intellect, your mind, your imaginations, your faculty of thinking and all that. And your body standing for all the physical processes, the hormones and the desires of the body and all of that still remain the same. So that is the point where everything starts from. So you as a Christian, you might be saved, but your spirit was transformed. But your mind, what about your mind? What about your mind? Did you just say, I'm saved? Good. No, it can't work. Or what about your body? And you see, sometimes we are used to, you have been trapped by something for many years and then struggling with something for a while, and then finally you come to Christ, but in your mind you're still images of that thing. In your body there are still images of that thing. So I think that's from where it comes from, actually, like the concept of being saved but still experiencing some desires or some things which pertain to sin.
Well, it's very good that you actually said that. Well, someone can be saved and actually still be bound, should I say?
Yeah,
bound. Yes, someone can be saved and still be bound, like in sin. That's very interesting. So I think let's take the journey to deliverance. Deliverance from the power of sin. Let's take the journey there. The first thing I wanted us to talk about is sort of like temptation, right? And the role. Hey, the role. It sounds so official. Temptation. But yes, temptation and like the first of all, I don't know where to start this question from. I want to start from, does God tempt, or how does temptation come into play before going to like resisting temptation?
Okay, so maybe even just to add to maybe the question which you just spoke about, mm-hmm. about the catch of, well, I'm saved, but I still experience some things.
Yeah.
So just to say, what everything we said, it by no means, of course, justifies maybe the fact that we can sin while we are saved. The fact, yeah, we were just trying to explain mm-hmm. why that happens, but mm-hmm. it doesn't justify someone, yeah. like in Romans chapter 6, even it says, God forbid, shall mm-hmm. we continue in sin. So, hey, you though who has received Christ, yeah, we have gotten to know that your body did not change physically, but that change which happened in your spirit is able to bring about a total transformation mm-hmm. of the rest of your life. Yeah. We're just trying to explain the fact that, yeah, you have been, we say you, he saved you from the power of sin, but how comes you're still in sin? It's because there's a faculty of you which still knows the appetites, but mm-hmm. that doesn't justify sin in any way. So I just sort of clarifying that mm-hmm. while we continue, and then we're going to look more into that. Yeah. Yeah. So what's the question about temptation?
Yes. Like, first of all, temptation, is it from God? Is it possible to say that, like, God tempted you to commit this sin?
Yeah. You know, this is really funny because I really felt like that sometimes. Like,
really?
Yeah. Feel like, Kai, it's like God is the one that is just tempting me, like, really? And all that. And sometimes tempting and all that. Mm. Yeah. Well, but the Bible says that God tempts no man. God tempts no man. So I'm just going to read quickly from James 1 verse 13. It says that when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me.
Mm-hmm.
For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Does he tempt anyone? And I think we can see a practical example of this even in the Bible. Like, we see that, yeah, sometimes God has allowed people to be tempted, has yeah. permitted them to be tempted,
mm-hmm.
but he did not tempt them. God did not send Potiphar's wife to go and look for Joseph to see if Joseph was going to resist. No,
mm-hmm.
but God had permitted some of those things to happen. Yes. So temptation, where is it from now? Interesting.
Very interesting.
Where is it from? Well, one way we usually do is we accuse the devil. Like, the devil, it's not me, it's the devil. The yeah. devil. I think sometimes if the devil had a chance of speaking for himself, sometimes he's gonna really not agree with sometimes what we say. But yeah, well, the devil can tempt. We see in the example of Jesus
yeah.
he was mm-hmm. directly tempted by the devil. The devil mm-hmm. can tempt someone.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from the devil, you can be tempted by something else. And this is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. The Bible says, talking about the same verse which we just read, so it says that God does not tempt anyone, but mm-hmm. each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires, their own lustful desires, and enticed. So you can be tempted by your own desires. Those parts which we said have not been totally transformed yet. Your mind, your body, a desire to satisfy some pleasures, satisfy some sexual pleasures, satisfy some pleasures of the flesh, maybe mm-hmm. wanting to feel big, wanting to own things that are not yours, wanting to satisfy that ego. So you can be tempted by your own desires in your mind, desires in your body,
mm-hmm.
and it entices you.
Wow. So you can be tempted by your desires and then tempted by the devil. So how do you think, or what do you think, how do we overcome temptation? Maybe first of all, is it one for like the both of them, or like tempted, if you're tempted by your desires, there's a different mechanism than the devil. Another one.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for that, because yeah, I made a difference between them. But the truth is that sometimes we, in the face of temptation, you might not have the chance to really discern.
Which, yeah,
I personally don't think that the devil appeared to Jesus as a man, as we see in some movies, it's painted black with a tail and or maybe two horns, a scary face. If that was the case, then Jesus would just tell him, get out of here, you evil spirit.
Grace, yeah.
But from the my understanding of what happened to Jesus, these were thoughts playing even in his mind. It was, he was having, yeah, a conversation and everything, but especially for the one of turning stone into bread and all that, it feels like it's a conversation he was having, but for sure not with an entity that was standing by him. So this means that even when we are tempted by the devil, it will still come by those thoughts, those suggestions. And I would dare to say that even if it's the devil tempting you, or it's your own desires luring you, the flesh, a man of God said once, and I quote, he said, the flesh is an operating system. Like the way you have Windows and you have iOS. Macintosh, iOS, you have, it's a whole system on its own. It's a government that is against the will of God. So the flesh on its own is anti-God, pulling you to do the things of that are against the will of God. And when you want to pray, sometimes the flesh is pulling you to sleep. When you want to fast, the flesh wants to eat. So it's not necessarily the devil always coming behind you. But what I, why I said this is that even when the devil comes, sometimes he still comes and uses the same elements of the flesh. He uses the same feelings, he uses the same desires to lure us to do those things. So I think that in both cases, whatever it is, the mechanism, well, there can be different things to apply in both cases, but it's principally the same, because you are addressing that thing which is trying to pull you to sin, those desires, those things. Jesus said something interesting. He said, the god of this world coming, Satan again coming, but he has nothing in me. Nothing in me. He has nothing in me. So that really taught me a lot. But now let's go well into the core of, how then do you overcome temptation? Wow, this is really interesting. It's really interesting. Wow, it's really interesting, because you know, temptation is something we face every day. So even the one speaking now is not saying like he doesn't have a PhD in overcoming temptation. But we submit ourselves to the truth of the word of God, and according to what the word of God says, and sometimes by the work the word of God has had in our lives, we can bring forth personal experiences. Well, overcoming temptation, it's, I believe, first of all, it's something that should be processed in our mind as our ability and something we are capable of doing anytime, anywhere. It begins from that. Just to give a short story, I remember one time I was struggling with a habit in my life, and it's like this habit was being, I felt these desires which enticed me towards doing that, towards satisfying that habit or going back to that habit, used to be heightened or at its climax when I have eaten, maybe eaten late at night, eating more than I plan to eat, eating and feeling so full. And then I would remember the scripture which says about the children of Israel that they ate and drank and woke up to play, to commit sexual immorality. So I began to realize that, yeah, there is a connection. When I eat so much or give myself to these desires for food and all that, or just somehow I then feel more like in the flesh doing some things. And one major deliverance God brought to me in that aspect was to remind me what the scripture says in the, in what we just read in James, that in every, it goes down in verse 15 to says, that in every situation, every scene, every scenario in which we are tempted, God makes a way out. So no matter how you feel, even if you feel at that point like, well, I had, like, sometimes when you're in the, when you're really tempted with a sin and you, the Holy Spirit had tried to warn you, don't go to that place. You finally went to that club. Okay, don't take the lady's number. You took the lady's number. Okay, don't do this. And then you failed all the tests and you found yourself now in front of a big, big sin. Usually the flesh will say, you've already messed up. That's like in my case, you've already eaten. There's nothing you can do about it. But no, it's not the case. No matter what, how you feel, you can say no to that temptation. There is no point at which temptation is more than you, because standing on the integrity of the word of God, it says in every temptation, First Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, it says that no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So right from the time you're facing that temptation, no matter what happened before, you were not supposed to find yourself in that house. You found yourself there. Now you're in a position of compromise. It seems like all hope is lost. Even at that point, you have the power to overcome. Yeah, so I believe it begins from that. Do you recognize that you have the power to overcome at every time? Every time temptation stands, it's like a match in which there are two opponents, and you know by default this guy is stronger than this other one. No matter, even if the other one comes when the stronger one is asleep, you know that, come with me, I know the stronger one in this fight. And that is you in this case. Yeah. So acknowledging that you have the ability to overcome temptation. And then number two, which I'm going to mention, which helps us to overcome temptation, is the word of God. We see from the example of Jesus, when Jesus was tempted, he replied by the word of God. So when your feelings are telling you things, when your mind is telling you, oh, go online and watch those videos, when your mind is telling you, oh, take that money which does not belong to you, when you're being challenged and all that, do you remember, do you respond in accordance to what is coming to your mind, or by the word of God? So the word of God is our secret to overcome temptation. But now let's take it a bit practical. Maybe just book things like the word of God. I know that. What I think practically, well, for me, remembering that no matter the temptation, God has made a way out has been the first thing which has helped me. But secondly, the word of God bringing us out of temptation doesn't happen sometimes all at the same moment.
Absolutely. Yes.
You need to, I believe you need to learn to keep the word in your heart. The psalmist said, their word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. He's used the word hidden. So it's, you know, to hide something, it proposes that care was taken, diligence was taken, extra effort was taken. It doesn't say, your word have I thrown in my heart, have I poured in my heart that I might not sin. No. So it takes extra diligence. So one way for someone out there, a Christian, someone who knows Christ, who is struggling with temptation, or who wants to prepare for the days coming ahead, you need to make the word of God, reading the word of God, a lifestyle. Make the word of God, reading the word, a lifestyle. It's not easy in our world. You have lots of things to do, but by the grace of God, we need to go back to creating time, even if it's every day, of time to just meditate on this word and keep it in your heart. I think that really goes a long way. It really goes a long way. So my challenge for someone listening today is that can we take that challenge one more can we take that step one more time? Can you ask yourself, maybe, when is my Bible study time? When do I have the chance to hide the Word of God in my heart? To read the Word, meditate on the Word, keep it in my heart, so that in the day of adversity, I'm going to be able to stand. Another thing which has to do with temptation is prayer. So, Jesus talking to his disciples, even before going to the mountain of, before being captured by the people who came to arrest him, he told them, watch and pray. Watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation. Matthew 26 verse 41. Watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation. So prayer is an important tool to overcome temptation.
Yes.
And the same way also, maybe not just at the moment when you are tempted, but a lifestyle of prayer. We see in the case of Jesus, Jesus was driven to the wilderness to fast and to pray. So he had time with God and all that. And after, when temptation came, he did not have the chance to kneel down and say, my father, my God, take away this bread. I don't want to see stone. I want to just know. So I think one major thing I've realized with temptation is the preparation happens before. Let's know this. But still, whenever you find yourself being tempted, and even if you feel like you have not prepared, because sometimes you'll be in that situation where for 1 week you have not prayed, and then that old desire of pornography shows up, the old desire of lifestyle, of adultery, whatsoever sin we're talking about, shows up, and your mind will tell you, Omo, you have not prayed for 1 week, there's no way out. It's a lie. It's a big lie. So this is the prevention motive, is fill yourself up with the Word, have a culture of prayer, a culture of prayer, and by the grace of God also a culture of fasting. Yeah,
there was an episode we kept mentioning fasting. After the episode, people kept being like, "Boy, are you telling us to fast?" Fasting.
I really think fasting is really important.
It's absolutely.
Usually, we don't speak about it a lot, but it's it's really important. Like, really important. You know, I realized that all of those who did great things for God in the Bible, there were people who really fasted. Jesus, Daniel, Moses, Elijah. I mean, you can name it. The children of Israel, fasting was a lifestyle for them. So it means, really, we need to get back to the place of fasting. But what does fasting do? Fasting humbles you. Puts that flesh, the desires, under subjection, and allows you to be able to commune more with God. So prayer, the Word of God, fasting, and of course the gathering of the saints. Sometimes people feel like, when I'm being tempted, or you ask yourself, should I go to church? All these thoughts I'm having, I'm a bad man. I think about all things, and how would I go to church after I just sinned? I just did this yesterday. No. Let's remember what the Bible says about it. It says, do not give up the gathering of the saints, as is the habit of some. Well, I hope that it's not your habit, you who's listening to this. Amen. If it's been so, then please, it's time to return. But it says, encouraging one another, Hebrews 10:25. So in the presence of God, there is encouragement. There is encouragement, and that encouragement gives you the strength to overcome sin, to stand in the midst of temptation and say no to temptation.
You guys, that's golden, Prosta. You're giving us, like, it's so amazing. First of all, Let me start from where you talked about the devil tempting Jesus in thoughts. I'm so happy that you said that, because I was going to ask you afterwards. that I don't understand. Because I read this Matthew 4 and I kept wondering, the devil took him. How did the devil take him? Like, I was going to ask afterwards. But yes, I'm so, like, that's profound that it came to him. It most likely did not come to him as an entity, but as his thoughts. And so many times, like, temptations will come to us as our thoughts. And there's something that someone used to say, I heard a preacher say once, that many times the thoughts that we think, they are not our thoughts. They are the devil projecting his thoughts onto you. So, because your identity, who God is seeing you as, is different from what the devil is painting you to be. So, for example, the devil is telling you to him, like, you can never rise up from, I mean, this scene, or you can never come out of this. What God has called you is not, it does not correlate. Like,
true.
Two different
true.
People.
Very true.
So, what the devil is doing is projecting his thoughts onto you. Mm. And that can keep you in bondage. Like, I mean, oh my God. I myself have been a slave to sin before, but thank God for his mercy and thank God for his grace. The enemy will lie to you. He'll tell you, you know, now that when you come out of Egypt, you're wondering, oh my God, what? Can't believe I listened to you. I can't believe I listened to you. But in actuality, what, like you said, many of the things, what, he's a liar. So everything that he says is lies. Then also, like what you said about he provides a way of escape out of every temptation. You know, I want us to know, like, God is not a wicked God, right? It's not like, I remember it was Pastor Charles I heard say this once, like, he was like, God is your father. It's not like he puts a trap here for you and be like, enter it, or Phyllis, let me see.
Let me whip you.
Like, with every temptation, there's always going to be a way of escape. I heard someone say this yesterday, and oh my God, I was like, that's powerful. He said that the devil is not wise enough to make any form of, or create any form of temptation that will not have escape in it. Like, there's always a way of escape. And even it now makes sense that in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul was speaking, and he talked about how he causes light to shine out of darkness. Like, it is out of this darkness that you seemingly seem or seemingly looks like you're in, that light will come. And then I think in 2 Corinthians 4 it goes on to, I think verse 6, I can't remember exactly where, but yeah, it goes on to say that, and God, who has caused this light to shine out of darkness, now shines in our own hearts, right, as the word of God. And I was like, oh my God, that's beautiful. That's so good. That's beautiful. So, but yes, out of every temptation, there is always a way of escape. There's always light inside that darkness. Not like light to come into the darkness, like light is inside the darkness and it shines and darkness cannot comprehend it. Yeah. Then of course, like you said, man. I'm sorry, I don't know why I said man. I was going to say men. The word, prayer, fasting. Guys, I think this is like the umpteenth, this is like the thousandth episode that we'll mention these three things. The believer cannot, I mean, the source of a thing is its sustenance. You cannot be sustained. It's just not possible, should I say?
Yeah.
Like, to... The Bible literally says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill desires of the flesh. So prayer, the word, fasting. I'm gonna forget to fasting. Fasting.
Yeah. Very important.
Very important. Yes. And so, like, back to what you said about the word of God and how you have to meditate on the word of God. What exactly does this do for us when it comes to temptation? Because I realized, I mean, I was basically just going through, like, the places where I saw temptation. Only Jesus and Eve, let me put it like that here. And I realized that one of the things that the devil first attacks is their identity. Like, he first questions their identity. For example, Jesus was like, if you are really the son of God, right? Yeah, if you are really the son of God. With Eve, he's only started like this. He first said, did God say? And then he said something. He said, God knows that the day that you eat of this tree of life, you'll become like God. And God already said, I've made you my image and my likeness. So, I mean, it was like he was questioning their identity. So what is the, how important should I say is your identity? And then, like, especially when the devil comes to, you know.
Wow. Yeah, I think, that's really amazing. Thank you very much for bringing up this part. And yeah, when you mentioned that, well, the scripture which came to mind, it's from the book of Psalms.
Mm.
It says in Psalms 82 verse 5, it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Have I not said, or I said, ye are gods, and all of you are sons, children of the Most High. But verse 7 is a tragedy. It says, but you will die like mere mortals. Jesus. You will die like mere men and fall like one of the princes. So I think that, yeah, it comes back to this, about your identity can determine the results which you will command easily. Knowledge of your identity, let me put it in that way. Knowledge of your identity. Psalms 82 is interesting because it says, they know not, neither will they understand. So these are people who do not know and do not understand. And then though they have that ability in them, though they are gods and children of the Most High, yet they die like mere men. So I think that knowledge of your identity is very important when it comes to temptation. And as you said, this is what was attacked well in the Bible when the devil came against his people. So the word of God is gonna reveal or bring the consciousness of who we really are. And I heard something recently which is interesting, from a man of God I quote, and he was like, what really makes the word of God the word of God is not because of the exactitude of the words. It's not because the Bible says I and my Father are one, so I memorize it, or greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I say it 120 times and then no. It's the spirit of revelation. So that's just one thing I want to say for all of us, to remind us who are Christians out there, when we're meditating the word, let's not be too eager about maybe the memorization part or the fact that we have covered so many chapters, but the spirit of revelation opens up the scripture to us. He's the one who can make our identity become a reality. I'll give a short story. I was struggling a time in my life with lust, with shades of lust and different practices resulting from that lust. And yeah, it's quite strange to talk about it now on this great platform. But yeah, it was really terrible. And after a while of prayer and everything and confiding in people, it still persisted for some time. But one thing which God used to deliver me from that was a revelation of who I was in Christ and of the spirit I carried in Christ. And it came to light finally through a short sermon by Apostle Romeo Sai. It was a small part of the sermon where he spoke about the spirit of grace versus the spirit of lust. And he said the spirit of grace is stronger than the spirit of lust. And I listened to it, and then suddenly there was an outburst of light from my inside. And I was like, boy, I got it. So no matter how I feel, even if my body is trembling, even if I feel like I must do this, I must call this person, I must think of this, I must, the spirit in me is greater than that feeling. It's greater than that feeling. It's greater than that feeling. Is bigger than that feeling, stronger than that feeling. He can help me no matter where, no matter how. He is stronger. Yeah. So I'm gonna say that and that kind of light and knowledge of your identity, which helps you to overcome temptation, comes from the meditation of the Word of God.
Yes, absolutely. See, again, meditation. But yes, absolutely. Meditating on the Word of God is the only way that, and I mean, meditating on the Word of God and using that word to pray, because you can't separate the two. They're they're intertwined.
Yes. Very true.
So you read that word and then you pick up that word and then you just repeat it to yourself. Keep praying. Yeah, keep praying it. It becomes your reality. It becomes your normal. You know, this morning I was just bent up with God, and then I got to think, wait, in my world, cancer has a cure.
Wow.
You know, like, I don't know why the thought just came. Wow. Because I sat down, I don't know, it was like the Lord was trying to explain to me that when you spend time with God, when you spend time in the Word and in prayer, you begin to separate, and not separate, but like, you just, the reality of the world is not your reality anymore. Yeah. So the world might be saying, oh, we don't have a cure to cancer, none of that. But in your world, cancer has a cure.
Yes.
In
yes.
your world, there are many things that don't exist in my world. But then again, this does mean that there are many things that do exist. do exist in my world. But yeah, that's just a side note. So yes, your identity, very important. I remember one day, Pastor Charles was sharing with us the word, and it seems like I mentioned Pastor Charles a lot. Pastor Charles is my pastor, so if I keep mentioning him, he's my pastor.
Yeah,
just for those who don't know,
grace, we'll have him one day on this podcast, so people will
definitely
get to know him personally.
People, you wouldn't recover. There'll be three part episode or four. Anyway, yeah, I wonder, he shared a word, and the word I got from what he said, I mean, he said many things, but then he was trying to let us know, like, you are Jesus on earth. I remember when he said, he was like, some of you think this is hearsay, but it's true. Like, you are Jesus on earth. So go home with this word. Bishop, you know, I went home with this word. I laid on my bed to sleep. I remember, Jesus, you are sleeping. Jesus on earth, you are sleeping. Jesus on earth, you are this. And it brought a whole different consciousness. Like, you're just like, I am the hope. I am God's hope for these people, or I am God's hope in this place. I am God's, like, so that it helps to even separate you from sin. When you look at yourself the way God sees you, you will not want to associate yourself with sin, because you know that sin is, what do I want to say now? It just left my head.
It's dirt.
Because you know that sin separates you from God, right? Yeah. So, thank you so much, sir. I was so blessed. I don't want this to end. My God.
Are we ending already? It's the end already.
Let's see. But you've already shared. Okay. Okay. Let's just share this one as like a bonus. Sin consciousness. There are a lot of, what is it, first of all? And then how to avoid this, or how to not be, you know, consciousness of sin.
Well, talking about sin consciousness, I think I've experienced it in a way which I thank God, which is going to help me to share about this. Well, it's in two ways. Mm-hmm. I would not say a Christian should not go about and live like you don't care about what can bring you closer to sin. The Bible says no. The Bible says flee.
Mm-mm.
From all appearance of evil. Flee. Mm. We need to be on the run. We need to be on the run from anything that looks like, or that will bring us to that place of sin. We need to run away. Yes, tell yourself, Rono. So it means why, if you're going to a club or somewhere where there's an atmosphere which will lead you to sin, you cannot go there and say, I don't want to be sin conscious, so I don't care about this.
Mm.
You can go to a place which will clearly help you to, or put you in a tight spot, going to a place where you're going to be alone with someone, or you're going to be seeing something you're not supposed to see, and then no. So that is not what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be on your guard, be watchful, watch and pray, be watchful where you go to, what you engage. Trust the Holy Spirit to lead you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't go there. Don't mm-hmm. dress like this. Wear something mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. But sometimes we don't listen. We are not keen enough to listen. But now there is another dimension where someone can be so focused on the scene. And that's what I experienced. Trying to come out of the captivity of the enemy in different aspects of my life, I became much more conscious of the scene as magnifying the greatness of the scene.
Mm.
Where somebody is so scared about the dreams that you have. If I have a dream, I would wake up and do this. Mm-hmm. Or maybe mm-hmm. if somebody, a lady just touches my hand like that, I must go back home and react and mm-hmm. start doing some things and get into masturbation or whatsoever. We have magnified
mm.
the power of the scene by telling ourselves that we have no power. Once this thing happens, like what I mentioned at the beginning, tell yourself, once I've eaten at night and I feel too heavy, yeah. I start feeling a kind of way, I cannot resist. I need to think about something. I need to watch some pornographic movies. I need to watch a movie or something to cool myself down. No.
Mm-hmm.
So we have become conscious of the power of the scene more than the power of God in us.
I think
that's where the line should be drawn. Yes, you know that you have to avoid some things that lead you to sin. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know that this sin actually has gotten you in the past. But are you more focused on the scene itself, or you are trying to lift up your eyes to God and focus on God and focus on God? I think that's the major thing. Being focused on God. No matter what you're going through, no matter the addiction, no matter whatsoever you're going through, that thing, it does not make that thing bigger, but your God is on the throne. Focus on God. Peter had a similar experience. Coming out of the boat, there was the wind, the tempest. He could just say, how can I even put it? He saw the wind, and the wind and the things, I believe, started taking a bigger portion in his heart than what the word of God, which God had told him, come, was taken. And then he began to sink out of fear. So sin consciousness is when you're so aware of the gravity of the scene, how it has taken people down and all that. You are aware of that, and you are less aware of your ability over that scene. So I advise everyone, if you're struggling with something, if there's something which has been coming to your mind, yes, God is able to deliver you. God has already paid the price, in fact, for that thing. But there is something you have to do. Put some things in place. Number one, you need to refuse to be too sin conscious. That fear of that particular sin, just focusing on that sin. When something happens, you point back fingers to that sin. No, it doesn't work like that. Yeah. It doesn't work there. You don't have to be so conscious of the sin. And what do you do then? when you choose not to be conscious of the sin, you need to fix your gaze on Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes. You might be struggling with it now, but it will not continue like that. Mm-hmm. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It might feel like this addiction is never going, but no, there is a way out. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I want to encourage somebody, no matter what you're going through, know that God has made a way out for you, a way of escape. Yeah.
Wow, my God. At this point, I'm sure you have been blessed. If you do not hear anything, I'm sure that, what is, you do not hear anything? I'm sure you've heard many things, and I'm sure that you've been blessed. Thank you so much, sir. Well, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you didn't hear anything, at least hear that one.
That one, yeah.
Yeah. So do you have any closing, any final?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I wanted to just talk about maybe someone facing a particular addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You're here, you're stuck on pornography, on masturbation, and you've been trying, asking yourself, God, when, how can these things be?
Mm.
How can these things be? Or any other form of addiction or sin. Well, one thing I'm going to say is that there are different ways which you can apply, which will help you out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing which I've realized which really works is asking the Holy Spirit to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting tired of asking for his help.
Mm-hmm.
Insisting. Yes, you fasted last time and it became worse. Continue. It says if you ask and you continue asking, you shall receive. Continue saying, Holy Spirit, have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Continue saying, Holy Spirit, direct me. Holy Spirit, I messed up, but I cannot do without you. Continue insisting. One of the end points of the enemy many times is to bring you to that point where you feel like, okay, this is the rest of my life. I mm. cannot overcome masturbation.
Mm.
If the rest of my life will be like that. He wants you to come to a point where you give up and mm-hmm. say, this yeah, is true. Who I am. Your identity. He wants to steal your identity, make you see yourself as that person stuck on that thing and no way out. But no. Mm-hmm. You need to keep that identity of who you are. You are a son of God. You might be a daughter of God. You might be struggling with this now, but it's not who you are.
Yeah.
And then, so what do you do? Keeping your identity, you also give yourself to systematic growth,
mm-hmm.
study of the Word of God, prayer, fellowship. It might seem like, oh, what I'm calling is not like I'm not striking the nail. Maybe somebody expected like I would say 10 tips to overcome maybe pornography and stuff, and then start mm-hmm. naming them. No, but this is the experience of many people.
That's mm-hmm. true.
Systematic growth, creating time every day for God,
mm-hmm.
walking by the Spirit. And as you do that, you will not satisfy the desires of mm-hmm. the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Systematic growth will build up your muscles. Like someone who was wearing a small shirt maybe 10 years ago, now you bring that shirt, it cannot fit because his muscles have been built. So in the Spirit also, if you build your muscles consistently through fasting, through prayer, through the Word, then a time will come when that shirt, that small shirt of pornography and whatever that was holding you, will automatically lose it all.
Mm.
So give yourself to systematic growth. Open up to someone, a pastor, a leader, who you trust. Open up to someone.
Mm.
Open up to someone about it. And then also you can watch sermons about it, you can read books about that particular thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can read books, you can watch sermons, so whatever it is, to know how to break out of this. But one powerful relation, I repeat, is that the one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Yeah.
Well, I think now, at the beginning, I didn't know the title. Now I think I know the title of this episode. Wow, Bishop, thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir. I've been really blessed. I'm sure that you've been blessed too. And this is the perfect message, like, for Easter. Like, this is the perfect, because what Christ has come to do, he said that I've come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. And I mean, what greater life than realizing and recognizing that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My God, thank you so much, sir. I really, really appreciate it. Really appreciate. We're honored to have you here. By God's grace, I pray that you come back in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, I really like us to talk even about this topic. There are some other things, especially for those struggling with particular things.
Yeah.
Like particular addictions, particular things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are other things I want us to talk about.
Yes.
Like more detailly and some practical examples from my life and the lives of others I've known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really, really like
thank
to be
you.
Here.
Oh my thank God. You very much. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate it. So yes, Bishop will be back. I'm calling you Bishop, even if you know who I'm calling, who I'm talking to. But yes, Bishop will be back. By God's grace. Oh my God. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. So yes, to everyone, thank you so much for listening. Remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater, he that is in you is greater than what you're going through. He that is in you is greater than the sin. He that is in you is greater than the thoughts. He that is in you is greater than the habits.
Yeah.
He that is in you will deliver you from this.
Amen.
So God bless you, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.